This morning I want you to consider the land of choice that we live in. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verses 5 and 6, "For the living know that we will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun." Does this passage teach that all existence ends at death? Or that the dead are unconscious when life no longer provides breath? These things are not taught by the scriptures, because there are a number of other scriptures that teach us that when we die in this life, it is then that we are alive in a new way, and will really be quite aware of it. Over in Luke chapter 16, Jesus taught the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Sometimes we think, "Oh yeah, I've heard that one," and we don't stop again and listen to the words that our Savior talked with. I want you to listen and pay attention again. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, there our Savior said, "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your life you received the good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that they may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' But he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead.'" If we listen to these words that the Lord Jesus shared, these passages teach us of a new, life-changing time. This parable is a reminder that we should seize the day now and make every moment count, because what will change is that you and I will end our lives here on this earth one day, and we will discontinue all interaction with this world. The memory of us here by those of this world will eventually be forgotten. When this life is over, there will be no more rewards here on the earth that can be gained. Our knowledge that we've gained in life, our ABCs and all the schooling we've taken, will no longer do us any good when this life is over. The things of the world will be left behind, and we will embark on a new life that will begin with what we have chosen to lay up as our true treasures. The Bible describes those who belong to Christ as having peace when this life is over. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, Paul said, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." Peace in life is something we seek, but life in Christ will deliver peace beyond that which life can offer. Peace is our reward, the reward from a Savior who never forgets our labors of love for Him. Nevertheless, this old life with all the issues that we may face, this life on earth has both immense blessings that come along with some really exhausting challenges. There are people in this life we love, yet there are likewise things that can frustrate and confuse and dishearten us. In life, we sometimes even end up envying the wrong people. We see the things of this life that others have or enjoy, and we start feeling sorry for ourselves, or we start asking ourselves, why not me? Jacob described his earthly existence by saying in Genesis 47, verse 9, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. In the book of Revelations, the writer John spoke of the ending of life and about the ending of the painful elements of this earthly existence that are promised to the faithful. John said in Revelations chapter 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Yes, this earthly existence always involves worries and cares. It seems to involve huge responsibilities, sometimes costly and scary commitments. It seems to require a lot of accountability, perhaps sometimes uncomfortable conversations or strained relationships. Sometimes the painful ending of friendships, sometimes family strife, and struggling to make ends meet from month to month, and all sorts of health-related issues. And what might even seem worse, we sometimes witness the tragic spiritual shipwreck of some loved ones, sometimes including our own family members. Paul told Timothy over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that he needed to fight the good fight of faith, even though some had rejected it and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Paul, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was forthright when he describes his Christian life as being a life spent in one hardship after another. Paul spoke about these things with regard to himself, and he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, but in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am just as bold myself. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me to concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? When you and I listen to the trials that Paul went through, do we really feel as though we have a reason to feel sorry for ourselves? The concern that Paul had for the spiritual lives of all the Christians he came in contact with and taught the gospel, and the concern he had for all the congregations that he no doubt had established through all of his missionary journeys. When we consider the life of Christ, do we listen to the Hebrew writer when he says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Should we not feel overjoyed to take his word and overcome the hurdles of life with it? This land is a glorious place of choices. Sometimes people get to the point, though, where they feel so very frustrated with their life or their job. Sometimes people say they're just tempted to walk away and quit, to just give up. Sometimes people even describe themselves as being prisoners in their own life. Is life just going to turn out a certain way no matter what we do or don't do? Ask yourself, are we just helpless pawns in a big game that doesn't even care about us? Are we just the chips at some big poker table of life where all the winnings are always going to someone else? What a ridiculous thought. The Bible repeatedly has told every generation that no one is stuck, and that wonderful change that can be made in life is so wonderful. In fact, it is only a personal choice away from any and every person. Remember the Lord's words to Cain when God rejected his offering and said to him, "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" God gave these words to Moses to remind the people over in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. He said, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." As Joshua stood before the nation of Israel, he said to them, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Solomon spoke to his son by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and said in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate." I remind us all the time of Christ's words that are found over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Didn't Jesus say to the church at Laodicea over in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." As the message of Jesus comes to a close in the book of Revelation, he says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Do you need some motivation today? Then consider this. The Scriptures teach us that death ends all opportunity for change. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment." At death, our story is finished, whether we're truly ready to be finished or not. When life is over, the rough draft goes to print with all the errors in it, with all the bad storylines, or even the horrible ending to it. The story of our lives is printed, and we are not allowed to do any further editing changes because life is over. Let me give you something that you can take to heart this morning. Today, you and I are not dead, but we are alive. And here among the living is the land of choice. the sweet choice, the opportunity for a thrilling choice. If we're on a bad course, then you and I have the opportunity to turn away from it and get right with God before we even finish the chapter of our lives today. I want you to consider your life today. Consider the fictional tale of the Christmas story with that character that we see every year, old Ebenezer Scrooge. You remember how one evening all of his life was set before him so he could truly see the kind of life he had lived. Imagine yourself, and from this day, 20 years have passed, and you're now 10 or 20 years down the road of your life, and you, for a very brief moment, are allowed to go back in time to see this very day today in 2015. If you could see, and you could help you understand what you should do, what would you say to yourself this morning? What admonition would you give? What encouragement or what rebuke would you give yourself? I believe we would recognize that encouragement to continue in sin and rebellion would never be part of our speech. If you and I were able one day to be where we were in obeying Christ, the last thing that we would ever say to ourselves is, stay in sin. We would never say, continue to live for yourself. When we consider the words of Jesus, why is self-destruction? Why is philandering and dishonesty? Why is self-indulgence never the message we would choose from the future? If we simply look at this hypothetical situation of being able to come back and to warn ourselves, to be able to come back and to rectify what we have not taken care of, why in these situations do we so easily recognize that I must make a change in order to save myself and to save others? As you consider this, perhaps let me give you two reasons. You and I know that sin ruins life. There's no more. And, as we always say, hindsight is 20/20 vision. When you've spent your life as you have spent it thus far, would your future selves not encourage our present selves to listen to the beautiful offer of Jesus and act with haste and diligence? Just think, if you could be where you are today, having heard the truth of the gospel, knowing that Christ died so that you might have the hope of eternal salvation, and you hear this morning the inspired true life story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. What would you do? I want you to listen. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and he went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. You seeing yourself today, as this Ethiopian eunuch that day saw himself after Philip had taught him about the blessings of Jesus, you this morning know the truth, and you know the power of God's plan to save. All that stands between you and salvation is your choice. Would our future selves not encourage our present selves to hear his voice and to act upon it with all diligence? If your clouded vision can be cleared this morning and you can see what you need to do, why not reach out and draw near to the salvation that God offers through his Son, Christ Jesus? And this morning, as you consider the best choice you will ever make in life, just think what you can teach your children through your wonderful choice. And just think what you can teach your friends and all those who might know the blessings of Jesus in your life-changing decisions to live. Just think what you can be for yourself and for others and for the Lord in your life if you will just make that decision to obey him today. The blessing is your life will not simply be a life, but it will be a life that chooses to have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. And before you stop thinking about this, I want you to consider. Sometimes we wonder if people can really change. Let me remind you of this morning. You are closer to the truth than you might even want to admit to yourself. Just simply look back on your own life. Over the years, we would say we've made changes in our lives for the better or for the worse. Some of those changes have been right on the spot. In that very moment, we've heard it when we've realized a change was needed. Has that happened to you? People, all it takes is one look back at your life and wished you had made. Be what God has been wanting you to be. Be saved. His invitation to you today is simple. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come and repent. Come and confess and be baptized. Obey the gospel, the good news that Jesus brought to the world and gave himself for. Make the choice today for eternal life. If along the way of life you've stumbled and fallen and you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, take the opportunity to the invitation that the Lord extends to you. Listen to the writer James in James chapter 5, verse 16, where the inspired writer encourages us all this morning by saying, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Where are you? We pray that you will make the wonderful, life-giving choice.